This is Radio Catskill. We're your community radio station. The legal services of the Hudson Valley is the only provider of comprehensive civil legal services to all seven counties of the Lower Hudson Valley, which includes Westchester, Putnam, Rockland, Orange, Dutchess, Ulster, and Sullivan counties, with offices in White Plains, Mount Vernon, Yonkers, Peekskill, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, Goshen, and Monticello, as well as Spring Valley. Right now, joining us on the phone from Legal Services Hudson Valley is Jamie Samerl. He's a senior housing staff attorney for Legal Services of Hudson Valley. Jamie Samerl, how are you doing?
I'm very well, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So here we are. Today is the first day of the rest of July, July 1st, and rent is due for many folks. But what if they cannot pay the past due, or what if they can't pay because of the pandemic or other circumstances? What are their options?
Fair enough question. And excuse me, it is dire, but not as dire as people may think it is. Thanks to a series of executive orders signed by Governor Cuomo, there have been a series of moratoriums on evictions. And where we are today is the courts are not hearing eviction proceedings. When they do start hearing eviction proceedings again, we have no idea what that's going to look like, because unless you were alive back during the Spanish flu epidemic back in 1918, no one around now, certainly no one listening to this, has ever lived through such a time. So when the courts do open and they do hear these cases, it's going to be done in a staggered manner. It's probably going to be done in shifts. So it's going to take a little bit of time to get to everyone. People are saying, well, I hear the moratorium expires on July 6th. The moratorium that expires on July 6th is for warrants of eviction that have already been served, for what we call holdover eviction proceedings, where the individual being evicted is not being evicted for failing to pay money, but rather tenancy has not been renewed, or perhaps the tenancy has been terminated pursuant to a failure on a tenant's part to live up to a substantial lease obligation. So right now, if an individual can show that they have been economically impacted negatively, of course, by the pandemic, or they're eligible for state or federal unemployment benefits, a landlord cannot commence an eviction proceeding against them. And of course, that suggests the courts will actually have to be open to do it. And the courts are not supposed to be accepting new filings at this time. Or if a warrant is out there, the warrant cannot be executed until at least August 20th. Now, a person would have to show that they've been negatively impacted, as I said. How would they do that? Something from an employer showing that you've been furloughed. Something from an employer that you've been fired, that your hours have been cut drastically. Perhaps you had to stay home and care for a loved one. Perhaps you yourself became ill. That's a possibility as well. So as of right now, there are no evictions for non-payment of rent. Cases cannot be commenced for individuals who show that they qualify. If a person got a warrant of eviction and they don't show, they're not able to qualify, either that they, perhaps they were impacted negatively before the pandemic, and the date they're using now is March 7th, or they didn't file for unemployment, and that this has been a lot of problems with filing for unemployment, as I'm sure you're aware. It's going to take some time for the sheriff to get there. The simple reason in Orange County is that warrants are now deemed to be what's called stale. And the Orange County Sheriff's Department, I've seen this myself, is sending back warrants of eviction that have already been served to the attorneys for landlords, stating that the eviction warrants are stale. You need to have a new one signed by the court. We then need to go back out and begin serving them all over again.
Okay, wait, now hold on. So how long does an eviction warrant need to be left out before it goes stale? What does that mean? Does that mean from 3 months ago, or even ones that were issued, or are there none more recent than that because of the moratorium?
The latter, and it's the chicken versus the egg argument, which is which. Normally, when you get a warrant of eviction, since the law changed last June, the warrant is, you get the warrant, and then a minimum of 14 days later, the sheriff or the marshal, if you're in the city of Newburgh or the city of Port Jervis, comes back to what's called execute the warrant of eviction. I think the mindset of the sheriff in Orange County is, If you got a warrant on March 10th, and here we are on July 1st, how do you know when the sheriff is going to come back? For purposes of due process, you have no idea. Mm-hmm. And I tip my hat to the Orange County Sheriff for doing the right thing, in my view, and sending the warrants back to the courts and having the courts consider signing new warrants of eviction, and when they do is up to the judge. Getting them back to the sheriff, then the sheriff has to reserve and give that individual a fresh 14 days.
Okay. This is a lot of information, and I'm just trying to keep up with you. But one of the things that I feel like I heard in there, one of the things I could take away from this is that there are some options for people, that there is some protection for people, and where there may not be protections, you're viewing the uncertainty of what might happen as something that will at least buy people time.
That's right. And I don't mean to minimize this at any time, but especially not during these times. If an individual has any questions whatsoever, like I tell my clients, there's no question that's a stupid question. Ask it. Call our central intake unit, and we will put you in touch if you qualify economically with an attorney, and that individual can give you specific legal advice.
And that's specifically what you do at the Legal Services of Hudson Valley, is try to provide legal services as a nonprofit for people that can ill afford it.
Absolutely right. I have been doing this since 1999. I've been a housing attorney since 99 with the organization, and that is what I do. We do a variety of other services as well, public benefit, domestic violence, disability advocacy. We've expanded what we do because of the COVID-19 pandemic regarding people's concerns at the workplace, PPE. I can't get unemployment benefits. I can't get through to the unemployment number. What do I do? But what I do is I do housing. I do landlord-tenant. I endeavor to maintain people's shelter. And housing and public benefits are the two busiest ends of my agency.
And where those ends overlap with the legal bureaucracy of the state and municipalities, that's what you're familiar with. For over 20 years, you know about, you know, housing situations and the legal situations and where they overlap. So when you're talking about the uncertainty of what's going to happen, you're talking about that with that perspective. You've been doing this for 21 years, and you've never seen anything like this that you can even say, look, we don't really know how this is going to shake out, so let's go with what we do know.
Jason, I have no frame of reference whatsoever for this. I've seen some bad times, but I have seen nothing like this. I have no frame of reference for it. And what we're endeavoring to do with people is try to stay ahead of the curve, no pun intended, and provide advice, because this is an ever-shifting landscape. And as I said earlier, there's no stupid question. If we can't answer the question, you can believe that we'll do our damnedest to find the answer for the person who's calling for legal advice. There's a couple of other things as well. If a person has a Section 8 voucher, you may have heard of the CARES Act. That may provide, in certain instances, additional protections to a Section 8 voucher holder. Last night, Governor Cuomo signed what we're calling the tenants, we don't even have a name for it yet, the Tenants Safe Harbor Act.
Is this the extension? Is this the new extension?
This is not an extension. This basically says between March 7th, and depending on what county you live in, because there's different phases, but depending on the county you live in, when the lockdown, if you will, is lifted, for that period of time, in a non-payment proceeding, if you want money, you can present as a defense to the court that you were negatively impacted by the COVID pandemic. You'd have to show proof of that. The court will weigh it. You know, what was the household income before the pandemic, household income during? Do you get any kind of benefits, any kind of unemployment, any kind of SSI? And then what the court will do is determine if you qualify. And if a person does qualify under this brand spanking new law that doesn't even have a name yet, a landlord may get a money judgment, but they can't get a possessory judgment and evict that person for rent during that period of time. This, as they say, is brand new.
What do you think of this? That this just happened last night? Is this the sort of thing you were looking for? Does it go further than you expected? Does it not go far enough?
It's kind of difficult to say. It's got that new car smell, if you will. I don't know how viable it's going to be. But let's put it this way: having an extra tool in your toolbox is never a bad thing.
Yeah,
you know. Earlier, Governor Cuomo, in one of his executive orders, also said that at a tenant's election, landlord has nothing to say about it. Tenant can choose to use a security deposit as payment of a month's rent. And I say a month's rent because usually security is 1 month. There's a number of things that go along with that. You have 90 days to pay it back. It's paid back in 1/12 monthly increments. You can do it by email to the landlord. And the important thing, as I say, Jason, is a landlord can't refuse the request. But again, we don't know how viable that's going to be.
Viable, like in the courts, if a landlord challenges it or rejects it?
Then again, it is not going to be challengeable, if you will. Where I see issues is maybe a landlord might say, well, you know, I used your security when you fell behind back in January. Well, surprise, you're not supposed to use a security deposit as the payment of rent in substitution for rent. Now, I settle cases all the time. Part of the settlement is keep the security as rent. There'll be a possession judgment only. But that's supposed to only be done when one is actually in court. I have not been in court, I want to say, since late February.
And I just want to, again, highlight something that I've been hearing in what you've been telling us so far, which, again, saying that people have options, that if people have questions, they should seek answers, especially if they're facing a situation that affects their housing. It sounds like another thing that people can do, that they ought to do, is document, like have the right documentation of whatever their circumstances. Because a number of things that you're talking about require people to be able to demonstrate, say, problems that they had with unemployment or when unemployment finally started coming. So that's something that you're advising people to do? Make sure you document everything?
I'm absolutely advising that. When I give informational presentations, I've been doing it for many, many years in Orange and Sullivan counties. And one of the things I tell people is get a manila folder. Put everything in there, your lease, your rent receipts, your work orders from your landlord, your correspondence with your landlord. Put it all in one place because there's going to come a time when you're going to need a guy like me. And the more you can give me, the quicker you can do it, the more effective I can be, and the fuller and more complete my advice can be.
According to the Urban Institute, we're seeing them say that Black and Latino households are about twice as likely to be renters as whites. So does that also mean that people of color are potentially being disproportionately affected by potential evictions?
I can't speak to that. I don't know that to be the case. I can tell you that in my practice, my clients run the gamut of race, creed, religion. Again, are people of color more negatively impacted? Certainly. I don't think that's arguable. But my demographic, my client base, as I say, runs the gamut.
And the work that you're trying to do, a lot of this, you know, working on housing, you're trying to keep people in their houses. But I mean, do you see the other side of that? Meaning, are you concerned at all that evictions could lead to a surge in homelessness as a result of this pandemic?
Yes, I am. I was concerned about that before. I think my concerns, my fears, and those of my colleagues are only multiplied because of what's going on right now. There is a dearth of affordable, decent, I want to say, or adequate housing stock out there. And it's only going to be harder now because you're going to get people who are sheltering in place. So the apartment or the house my client might have gone to look at, they can't do that because there are still people sheltering in place. There are also concerns that when there is a place to go look at, there are concerns as to whether or not it's been adequately cleaned. Is it safe for an individual and their family to go in there? Is it safe for somebody with an autoimmune disorder, who's diabetic, who has a heart condition, who's undergoing chemotherapy, who's just elderly? Is it safe? And these are the unknowns right now. And it's just amplifying the fear and the concern. And that's why I say, call us. If you have a question, call us.
Okay, well, Jamie, I've been so into talking about this, we've gone clear past the timer we should have ended, so we need to wrap up. But if people are going to call you, if they're looking for more information, where can they go real quick?
They can go real quick. They can call our central intake unit at 877-574-8529, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 6, and Fridays from 8 to 4.
Okay, one more time on that number.
1-877-574-8529.
All right. Well, Jamie Samorell, Senior Housing Staff Attorney with Legal Services of the Hudson Valley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's our quiet pledge drive.
Radio Catskill is made possible thanks to the generous support of listeners like you.
Donate now at WJFFradio.org.
Your contribution enables us to keep you connected.
Your support makes the difference.
Please give at WJFFradio.org now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.